This morning we're going to be looking at Philippians. We're going to be taking some passages from Philippians as we see how we can do this Easter journey in our own lives, in our own ways. And so I'm not going to be reading all three scripture passages at once right now, but sort of in three segments, three different stories are going to follow with each particular part of Philippians. Philippians is one of those books that is just a wonderful book of, if you're struggling with your Christian walk, Paul sort of spells it out for us. These are some of the things you could do, things that you can live. And so it's a nice small little book that can really help energize your own walk. A gift to give to other people who are just starting to begin to figure out what this Jesus thing is all about. It can be very helpful. But before we get to God's word, let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer, asking Jesus for his Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now on just bent knees, understanding the journey of the cross, and now trying to figure out what that means for us today. We've sung about the pain, we've sung about the hurt, we've sung about the victory of the cross, but we ask for your Spirit's guidance now as we take on all of that this morning, and as we celebrate this glorious moment of your Son rising again from the dead. So Spirit of God, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds, to hear in your word afresh this morning. Amen. Bless us and keep us. Amen. Amen. So the book of Philippians. So for you at home, please open your Bibles as well. I know it's kind of hard when you're sitting on the couch or, you know, I've been there, worshiped that way many weeks now. But it's still good to stay in that practice. Of worshiping and even really cracking open the Bible some days has been a good thing. So our first reading this morning is from Philippians 1, 1 through 11. And so just want to open with some words and then we'll read those scriptures. So dear family of Jesus, have you ever had a vision? Has this Easter morning spawned any visions in you? In the lead up to our Philippians passages today, the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy have been traveling around bringing the gospel wherever the Holy Spirit had led them. Paul had his Macedonian call, and they ended up in Philippi. Paul writes this letter to the church he started in Philippi, in Acts 16 and 11. And Lydia, a seller of purple, possessed, is a character that shows up. And a possessed girl is freed of her future-telling spirit. So all of these things are going into this story in Philippians here. Paul's starting his church, and Lydia's helping out. And then there's this family that has this spirit-telling young woman. And we know that Paul at this point gets put in prison. So his Macedonian dream, this idea of going out into all the world, is kind of, oh, now I'm in prison. And even though he is in prison, he feels happy when he thinks of what Christ means to him and of what the Philippians are doing for him. He gives some very practical advice on how to live a Christian life. As you read this book, remember to always rejoice in the Lord and to be content, whatever the circumstances. So let's read Philippians 1, 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so this morning, that's what I've entitled my sermon, To the Praise and Glory of God. Is our Easter going to reflect that? Is our life going to reflect that journey? So it was Monday morning, and a regular community friend just plopped himself down in a chair next to my desk. I said, "What's on your mind?" I said. And he said, I was walking around last night because I did not want to stay at a homeless shelter. But it was freezing out, so I just walked. As I walked in the loneliness of the light, my thoughts turned to taking my own life. But I realized I had nothing to inflict that kind of harm on myself. My thoughts then drifted back to missing old friends. "Do you remember Freddie, Harold?" "I do," I replied. "We've shared some great moments with our friends. Do you see Richard, the creator? Do you see Richard? The creator was leading you and guiding you. Even in your deepest despair last night, you were able to refocus on friends and good times you shared with them. Your friendship has brought comfort and joy, even though last night it sure did not feel like it for you." Have you or your loved ones experienced moments like this? As Paul thanked the believers in Philippi, I want to thank you for being able to help those around you, and I appreciate your friendship and sharing with me. If you are struggling under this wet COVID-19 blanket that surrounds all of us, know that you are not alone in your thoughts of stress, sadness, or loneliness, just like the experience Richard had that morning. He came into my office to find a place to talk with someone and to wrestle with God. Easter is this moment now where we have the ability, we've always had the ability to wrestle with God. We saw that in the Old Testament with Jacob. But even today in 2022, it's still okay to wrestle with God. That empty cross has given Jesus power over the world. And so we are able to take those moments and wrestle with God. Praying for ourselves and others is so important to advance the gospel. It's how it becomes a living word. Paul writes this in verses 3 to 6. "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Each and every one of us has a good work within us. God has this master plan. Easter was a part of it. And now we need to live into that plan. We need to continue searching. And that's again why we gather on Sunday, so that we can be uplifted, encouraged, corrected on our journeys of how do we live out seeking what God's plan is for us in our lives. The Apostle Paul understood he did not have all the answers he was seeking, but he knew enough to pray for help, and he wrote this prayer of encouragement for all of us. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. As we cultivate practices of prayer and spirit-filled moments of seeking grace, the community circles we live in will be encouraged to continue God's good work he has created in each of us. He is working in us and through our communities so that we can keep at it until he brings us to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ appears. Let's turn to Philippians 2. This section is under the heading, Shining as Stars. So Philippians 2, starting at verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul in a cell begins to see that it's not just an individual thing, but it has to be this community of faith. And so again, a reminder of why we would want to gather. This pandemic has made it so hard for us to gather as the family of God because of it. So we've been separated. We've experienced that loneliness, that separation. So we have to continue to struggle to find safe and healthy ways to gather again so that we can continue to build each other up. So remember, this section was under shining stars. Recently, a colleague shared these thoughts. I'm in my 40s, and it just dawned on me that my mother was responsible for teaching me what it means to be compassionate. She went on to explain, we had sat down around the family dinner table. And the talk about the day's events at school and work had begun when suddenly I noticed my mother was crying. I elbowed my sister and glared at my brothers, signaling that mother was crying, big crocodile tears rolling down her cheek. My sister inquired, Mom, what's up? My mother brushed her tears aside and calmly stated, the family down the street has lost its goat. And we children burst out in fits of giggles and disbelief that a lost goat had my mother in tears. My mom then explained to us what that goat meant to the family. It was a source of milk, and someday it would provide meat for several meals. So right after dinner, we went down the block to help a family of complete strangers find their goat. That was many years ago. Now in my 40s, I finally realized that I did not grow up in a well-to-do family. Yes, I had food in my belly and clothes to wear, but we were poor. I realized now that my mother always saw each of her children as shining stars. And I rejoice knowing she loves me so deeply. I now understand my mother's compassion for our neighbors comes from verses like Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Amen. Our search for the goat after supper was successful, and I learned a valuable lesson about compassion for my neighbors. And the command to love my neighbor as myself. We are called to be shining stars in the universe as we hold out We are called to be shining stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life, and this includes finding the lost goats and sheep. We come back, we gather, we learn from Scripture so that we have the ability to go out and find those goats and sheep. I was struck by my colleague's story. What a gift that her mother's compassionate witness touched her decades later. As she gave thanks for her mama, it reminded me of Paul's closing words in this passage. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Easter should be one of those moments that makes us want to celebrate more. To look for those moments where we could celebrate each other's gifts, our joys, our sorrows. Loving one another does not follow a recipe, but is worked out in fear and trembling as we are poured out like a drink offering. What are some of the ways you and your church community have learned these truths about love? And again, in Philippians 4:2-9, I will say it again, rejoice. And so let's turn to Philippians 4. Starting at verse 2. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Oh, sure, Paul, it's easy for you to tell us to rejoice. Having walked and talked like a Pharisee and then meeting God face to face in the middle of the road. Even you can't get Euodia and Syntyche to agree with each other. And you're telling us to rejoice. It sure is hard some days to be a follower of Jesus, let alone share the gospel story. Maybe you have found yourself in a season of doubting. Is Jesus for real? If he is, why can't he show up in the middle of my life like he did with the Apostle Paul? Have you ever experienced a crisis of faith? Let me explain why I asked that question. My father was in his last days of his earthly journey, and as I sat with him at his bedside, he kept repeating these words, "I don't know if I am worthy. I don't know if I'm ready enough for a heavenly reward." Just hearing those words repeatedly spun me into a crisis of faith as I questioned my whole Christian upbringing. Did my parents lie to me? Is my faith real? It took me 2 weeks to land in a space where I could rise up in confidence and rejoicing. In my crisis of faith, I found these words from verse 7 to be helpful. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I didn't need to have all the answers to life and death. I simply needed to find a space to seek. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy, think about such things. I've been taught by elders in my life to rejoice in each new day and see God in a thousand little places, like feeling the Creator's warm touch on my cheek as the sun rises above the horizon. In these moments of prayerful rejoicing, I am reminded to let my gentleness be evident to all, and not to be anxious about anything. Through my experience at my dad's bedside, I've met God in the middle of my road, and now I must carry on the journey using the old story of Jesus and his love for his children. This has led me to deeply appreciate the simplicity of verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. The old adage, practice makes perfect, has never been truer to help us reach a place where we can rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. My father's end of life struggle was his way of showing me that it is all right to cry out in our earthly pain as we seek a place of rejoicing in our journey with God. I learned the lesson to rejoice so that we can accept God's gift of peace. This gift of peace allows us simply to revel in Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we come and give thanks for this day, Easter, for the empty grave. Thanking you for your breath that fills our being so that we can rise up to meet the challenges and opportunities of the day we face, and simply to rejoice. Help us rejoice in this Eastertide. Amen. Amen.